Life Audio.
Hey, listeners. These last three episodes of the Happy Rant podcast are brought to you by the New English Translation of the Bible, and particularly the Timeless Truths Bible that they have put out. The New English Translation is the newest full translation from the original languages. So not just a revision of a previous translation, but a fresh new translation by a collection of wonderful scholars. It's a great translation. It's one that I look forward to using in my next reading of the Bible. I like to change translations every year or two to keep it fresh, to see things that I might have otherwise missed, and I'm eager to dig into the New English Translation. The Timeless Truths Bible is one that they have just released, which includes devotional notes and commentary from a variety of theologians and pastors, but not just contemporary ones, going back to the era of the church fathers from the second century all the way up to the present day. So being able to see how the Bible has been translated, has been understood, and how the gospel is coherent across the centuries. It includes creeds and confessions that date back to those early centuries of the faith as well. Again, seeing the foundation that our faith is built on. And then it's beautifully designed with wonderful artwork. If you go to timelesstruthsbible.com, that's timelesstruthsbible.com, you can learn more about it. You can order a copy. You can check out the whole translation. Again, it's the New English Translation. We encourage you to do so. I'm eager to get my hands on one of these Bibles and to dig into this wonderful new translation from Thomas Nelson Bibles.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio, in Soma, by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, we are mid-live show. We're in episode two. Took a little while to knock the rust off there in episode one. It always does. The first half of the first step is always kind of a tough deal. But
yeah, you feel rusty on that? I mean, were you?
I felt rusty.
Really? I just don't think it showed.
Thank you. I want to be out front with these people, though.
I want you to feel affirmed right now.
I owe it to them to be honest with them and assess myself along the way.
Yeah. Right?
I didn't feel great about it, but then I started to feel good about it.
When you listen to it back, which we know you will at this point, I think
when I'm evaluating,
you'll have a different take on it.
Making notes. Yeah.
And you can tell me how it went.
I take this podcasting profession seriously. But
apparently.
Boys, we are going to just kind of work through the roster. Okay, so we're going to work through some of the heroes of the Happy Rant and some of the rogues, some of the less than heroes.
I don't know if I like.
I know. Is this sitting unwell with you?
It's sitting unwell. It is unwell with my soul.
Do you anticipate that? Is it sitting unwell because we're going to like kind of push you to have a take that could burn bridges in the industry for you?
I mean, I just never feel pushed.
All the hooks you got out in the water.
I just don't feel pushed. But it's just. Yeah. It's just, if I don't have a take, it's because it's blank. It's like Piper driving around all day.
You have takes on all. You have takes on all of these people.
You doing the show is the equivalent of Piper driving.
I mean,
around
in some ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Pipe's never going to live that one down, is he, baby?
That informs.
That's going to stick
so much. Yeah, it really does.
That's going to stick for two more episodes. That comment from Pipe
until we forget each other's existence.
Right, exactly.
As we drive away from here tonight.
What's incredible is that we probably will never talk again.
Never.
Yeah. Ever.
No. Never.
Well, I'm going to drive away and not think about anything. So
we know we understand that now.
You guys can rehash.
I'm
going to
be dreaming about your shows with Jared. I'm going to be...
He's just going to pull into the driveway and go, what did I just do? I have no recollection of it, right?
I'm going to be thinking about Brockton Apartments, my old place.
It's going to be some kind of Christopher Nolan film, which he doesn't like.
You know, exactly. I don't like those either. Where are you at on Nolan? Are you a Nolan guy?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like real big in on him or not?
I don't know that I'm real big on anything.
I appreciate that you remember that I don't like that. I mean, that's the thing I said on the podcast.
I'm real big on anything.
What's
that explains so much.
I said, I appreciate that you remembered that I don't like Christopher Nolan, because that's something I said on the podcast, and you remembered.
You've said it many times.
Yeah, that's why.
But you remembered once, which is really significant.
I remember a lot. I remember a lot of times.
Not about this show.
Well.
Yeah.
I remember things we've said.
You get fired up about sports movies, though.
I do.
Like,
there's a new
Cameron Crowe sports movie.
I do get fired up.
Yeah, I'm getting the text from you, and I'm excited to get it, because I'm fired up about it.
Dude, I know.
You know?
It's true.
All right, let's go through this. Let's go through the Hall of Heroes.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to throw some names out. You guys can just kind of rapid fire respond.
Do this move right here.
As I does move. Dude, remember does move. Can you do it for me? What if I do it?
But then I'll watch you do it. There it is.
There it is.
Tell everybody where that's from.
So that's from a movie called, speaking of movies, Oliver Stone. I think he was doing a lot of cocaine when he made this movie. It was like 4.5 hours long and it was terrible.
Any Given Sunday.
Due to being a football movie.
I own it, and I watch it annually, even though it's terrible.
Still watch it annually? We watched it one time together.
Yeah, we watched it one time together.
At Martin Manor.
Yeah,
all,
Martin
all
Manor.
All three of us
watched it in the condo.
We did watch it together.
At the 70s condo in Destin,
definitely
Florida.
Definitely rewriting our master.
Shout out to that lady who gave us the condo. Yeah, that was amazing.
Her name was Virginia.
Guys, that book that we wrote didn't just come out of thin air. I know
you
it sounds
wrote an
like it, did.
It was come out of thin air.
It was brought to you by Oliver Stone's cocaine.
The 20 minutes I spent writing my portion of the book.
Yeah. You spent the rest of the time lounging. Pipe and I were working on the book. No big deal. I'm not bitter. But any given Sunday, 4.5 hours Oliver Stone football movie. But there's a particular dance move that Willie Beeman, the signature character, does in the movie, and it's like a shark.
Tell him who plays Willie.
Dude, what's his name? I'm blanking. Famous guy.
Isn't it Jamie Foxx?
Yeah. Jamie Foxx. My name is Willie. Willie Beeman. Yeah, we like singing it to each other too. That's our thing. Anyway, he would do a dance. Yeah, the shark.
I don't
dance.
Know why we
yeah. yeah.
It looks it works great in an audio medium.
Yeah, it does. This is radio, not television, baby. All right. Hall of Heroes. I'm just gonna run them. I'm gonna run the roster and then I got some follow ups. Number one, Platty. Do we remember Platty? Is this guy still a thing? Still
David
out there
Blatt?
Making moves? That's,
yeah.
I've lost track of Platty. I don't know what he's doing.
I think he's speaking at this event.
Probably speaking at the. He might be out here. He might be in the.
He might be here.
Tonight.
David Platt, if you're out there, raise your hand.
Yeah. No, David. But is he still like the?
No, this isn't radical enough. He's. And also, the tickets cost money. So,
dude, I think of him. This is a sports movie reference. You're going to enjoy this. I think of him as like the Jimmy Chitwood of reformedom. You know what I mean? He's got the crew cut. He's shooting baskets by the moonlight.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
I'm pretty sure he's a big CrossFitter.
Just out working everybody, you know, shooting the threes from the corner.
Yeah, he's kind of muscly, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, David Platt story. At the Gospel Coalition.
That's great about Pipe. Pipe has
no,
David
I love this.
Platt.
Yeah.
At the Gospel Coalition in Orlando, I don't remember, 8-9 years ago, something like that.
Gosh, Orlando, what a town.
It overlapped with March Madness.
No one ever.
And so the final four games were on one night. And my dad was like, oh, you should come up and watch the games. And there'll be a few people here. I was thinking it was going to be like his sort of Desiring God crew. And I get up there and it's them. And then there's a whole bunch of other people and some of the speakers. And David Platt is hanging out. You know, and it's my dad's super into the game. He's a very intense sports watcher. Other people are
John Piper intense. That's shocking.
Other people are you know, crushing Coke Zeros.
Yeah.
And there's general hubbub. David Platt doesn't say a word.
Really?
That I observed.
Now, I want to ask some follow-ups on this. Is it because he was nervous about your dad? Did he not want to look dumb?
I don't know.
John
he's
Piper?
Like he's like my dad's mini me. How could he be nervous?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when you want someone's approval that much.
I don't think
I mean,
so.
How do you feel when you're with Jared? Do you get a little nervous?
I can barely talk.
Can I say your first name? It's fine.
Right.
You know.
Right.
No, yeah. I think he
clean
is,
your kitchen up for you. I could do it later. Whatever.
I think he is a profoundly introverted person, and being in a hotel suite with like 15 other people is the most awkward.
He's like,
thing.
I wish I was in my room with a book. You know,
probably, I mean, to listen to him speak, you would never think that, right?
It's which is not dissimilar from my dad. The reason my dad was like, if it was just social, he also wouldn't say a word. But basketball brought out the intensity.
Dude, one more Platty question vis-a-vis basketball. Did he play in high school or not? I would bet like everything in my bank account, he was a high school basketball player.
A lot of money, baby.
Yeah. Oh, you're telling me.
A lot
especially
of money.
After this show.
Yeah, you know.
I'd maybe slow my roll on that one.
You know what kind of sales we've done over the years.
I understand that.
He has that crew cut Jimmy Chitwood look about him.
He's standing in the corner shooting threes. They're working the ball around.
But he was absolutely like a 4'6" freshman point guard. Like
Is he a short gentleman?
Not really anymore. But he has the vibe of somebody who was tiny at 14.
Yeah, he weighed 120 his freshman year. Yeah. He's like, coach, I work really hard. You believe in me, you know?
Like struggling to get the bar up.
Let's run
the
picket fence at him. You know that kind of thing. Yeah,
Jimmy Chitwood.
All right, we got another one. Matty Chan.
Oh, Matty Chan. Oh, you mean the guy who wrote the foreword?
Yeah, that's
to our
right.
Book?
Yeah. Real friend of the program.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Ghostwritten.
Matty Chan, who wouldn't know me if he saw me on the street.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
About
do you think he would recognize me?
Recognize
if
you?
If Matty Chan and I passed each other on the street in Indianapolis tomorrow.
That's a great question.
Would there be anything that happened between us? I wouldn't initiate.
I think if Chan could focus enough to look at you.
Oh, because he's all kind of.
I don't know. I might. I just feel like he's, you know. Oh,
he'd be like, hey, Market Square Arena. Yeah, you
right,
know?
Right. You tracking with me?
RCA Dome. Yeah.
I don't know. He might. He might be like, I feel like I should know that. I feel like he would be, I feel like I should know that guy.
Right.
Although you have that look about you anyway. With the hat and the glasses, you look like somebody who we ought to know.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I feel like if he walked by me, he'd be like, Big R. High five.
Oh, really? You guys have history.
I wouldn't high five. I don't high five.
He'd be like, that's the guy that sent me 14 emails about maybe collabing on a book project, and I haven't responded.
That's Piper. Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, he didn't see any of those. His assistant straight up all those.
Baby, let me ask you a question.
Let's guys, there's only one person in this room that's collaborated with Maddie Chan on a book project, and he's sitting 12 rows back.
I'm not talking about actual collabs. I'm talking about hoped-for collabs.
Oh, yeah.
Have you, and I want you to be authentic with these people, okay?
Because
they would do the same
else.
For us. Have you sent an email to Maddie Chan about collabing? I want to know, dude. Let's get to the heart of the matter. You're on the Chase Lounge right now. You're swiping the HSA card.
Baby, I do not have Maddie Chan's email. The only...
You didn't send it to, like, info@chanchurch.com or whatever? Like, he might get it. He might check this. Maybe it goes to his phone. Maybe, you know.
Maybe there's two people in this room. There's three people in this room I've ever asked to collab with.
Yeah.
Two of them have answered my request. One of them, 12 rows back, has
still
not
waiting.
Capitulated.
Yeah. You're like, he's read it. You know, I can see that.
Right.
But, you know, maybe just busy. Maybe it's a hard week.
He's like, I don't co-author.
Yeah.
I don't co-author.
All right, let's go to a third one. Hall of Heroes, Pipe's dad.
Oh.
Yeah, Pipe's dad, who the last time we did a show in this room.
Yeah, he was here.
He was here.
True, it was
in this
room.
Where is your pops?
He's right back there. Yeah.
How do we know he's not here?
Do you see Larry David out there?
Yeah.
He's not here.
You know what? He's up in the luxury box. We had one Skybox ticket. It was $1,000.
Is there any hope that you might look a little more Larry David as you progress in years?
Wrong genetic strain in my family. I take after the other side.
Got it.
Let me ask you this, Pipe. Is your dad at all conversant in who Larry David is? Like,
he
is Larry David?
He is now.
Okay.
Because it's so uncanny.
Yes, it is a joke. The joke has grown to the point where he is now aware of Larry David, his existence, which is, that's a monumental leap for somebody with the pop culture know-nothing
acumen
of my father.
That your dad is.
IQ
and that's not
zero.
An insult. He would happily say he knows nothing about pop culture. But I think he, I don't know that he could name anything Larry David has, like what's on his resume.
He's not like late at night, been unable to sleep and like dialed up an ep of Curb Your Enthusiasm just to kind of kick the tires on it. You don't think?
Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with no.
All right.
The hard no.
Although, what funny thing about Larry David and my dad,
they collabed on a book once.
Well, Larry David actually ghostwrites my dad's books.
I love it.
No. So when maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I pulled up, you know, I was clicking through Amazon Prime looking for something to stream and Curb Your Enthusiasm. And, you know, the preview came up and my daughter, who's, you know, she's 14 now, but she was elementary school at the time. She just looks at the TV. She goes, why is Grandpa on TV?
Oh,
and
hilarious.
She can't tell the difference between Larry David and
that's
her
really
grandfather.
Funny, man.
That's
and,
outstanding.
So that from that point on, I was just like, okay, we just need to embrace this reality.
Yeah. The
jokes are funny. This isn't a thing to deny. This is wonderful.
Yeah, you really look a lot more like your mom for sure.
You know, and when it comes to being compared to Larry David, I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
But I mean, we do tend to look, you know, that could change.
That's true.
So hang tough, buddy.
But my dad has like the Doc from Back to the Future hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's like there's a whole different.
He kind of like, he doesn't help his case. Yeah. So to speak.
He's leaned into it.
Yeah, he's leaned into it pretty hard. And by leaning into it, he just
hasn't done anything different for
correct.
40 years. Yeah.
He's not going to the stylist going, hey, let's have some fun with it. You know, let's try
yeah,
something different.
Stylist.
I'm
that's
just
probably
trying to
cute.
Picture
yeah. Here's,
him.
Here's a picture of Brad Pitt. You know, do what you want with it.
I'm just trying to picture.
Jump Piper,
you're
here's,
a pro. You
Jump
got
Piper,
me.
Here's what a stylist is.
I don't know that my dad has paid for a haircut.
Well, that's what I was just saying.
Well, let's talk about
my
that. Who's cutting the hair? Noelle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it Noel or Noelle?
Noelle.
Like Christmas.
Yes.
Dude,
man,
she's
I love that
name
birthday
so much.
Her birthday is near to Christmas.
I love
so.
That name so much.
Are we going towel around the neck in the kitchen, or are we going outside? What's the
yeah,
kitchen the process like?
So, yeah, there's, you know,
did your mom used
table.
To be a hairstylist, or is she winging it?
No, she's just big on saving money.
There we go. Frugal.
And the thing is, when
I
you
just
raise,
feel like the dude can probably afford a haircut, right?
Yeah. When the yeah, thing,
yeah. Let's get him in a salon. What
the thing is, when you're raising four boys, and you make a mistake with a haircut, buzz cut. So
yeah,
like she had a lot of practice and she actually got pretty good. Like you, yeah. It's not worse than like supercuts. Granted, true. That's not high praise, but
yeah.
But I love your pops, man, because this is what kind of fascinates me about the haircut. The haircut is his one nod to kind of old school, not very conservative, like hippie culture, because he still has it kind of long, kind of yeah. free flowing, kind of dangly. Like there's something about that where you go, oh, this is Johnny P trying to be a little dangerous.
He was kicking the tires on it in the 70s.
100%.
You know he was.
100%.
Man. Dude, are there some old pictures of Johnny P in like a pair of, like a flared bell bottom and yeah. maybe a mustache?
No mustache. None okay. of us can grow facial hair.
Yeah.
This is me not having shaved for like 3 days.
That's your dad's
so.
Like R.C. Sproul, those pictures in the 70s when his yeah. hair was all like...
Well, there's a picture. Epic. Yeah. Just, you can Google this stuff. You can find, like, if you just look up old school John Piper pictures, there's one of him standing by the church sign in probably like his first or second year as pastor. So 81, 82. And he looks spectacular.
Mm.
Like he could wear that today and people would be like, I want what you're wearing.
Like look all hipster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, it's like, cause it's like the sweater vest
yeah.
underneath the tweed jacket. He has yeah, a, he has dope, a silver man. Cross around dope. His neck. It was before Ooh, his no, hair turned gray, but it was like kind of wild and big, you know, big curly hair. And like the big glasses, kind of like yours, except like no
but
frame.
In a men's. Yeah.
yeah. but in a men's. Yeah. but not his grandmother's. That's right.
Right.
And, yeah. So you look at that and you're like, the thing is, that was probably dorky in 82, but now it's exceptionally cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, like in college, he drove a late 60s Mustang.
Oh, what college is that? He was on it.
Yeah, he was. He had a little swagger to him back
yeah,
then.
Yeah. And then,
that's how Noel happened.
Yeah. Then this whole like wartime lifestyle thing, and he just got progressively less and less cool.
Dude, as soon as wartime kicked in, that Mustang was going on the market. It was gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we've driven like used station wagons ever since.
Baby, what's the aim with, House of Heroes, or whatever you're calling
it. House of Heroes, we're just working through the roster. So this is a couple follow-ups.
Got it.
Well, these are people who have made regular appearances. I mean, this is sort of a look back.
Names
you know.
That have recurred on the program over the course of the last decade. We got another one. Frankie Chan.
Oh, boy.
Remember Frank?
Dude, I don't know what's happened to Frank.
I still own a couple shares of Frankie Chan stock.
It's been a long time.
You know?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's depreciated.
I mean, I know
I bought low on it.
I know he moved to another country, but I think he's back. But he's not made a big splash.
Yeah. Let me ask you this: you're dialed into the industry. Does Chan have one more big book in him? One more bestseller? He comes roaring back. What's the persona like when he comes roaring back?
Now, Chan's gonna come up with some kind of angle.
A little rough around the edges, maybe.
Like it's gonna be some kind of crazy love part two.
I'm older and wiser now, kind of thing.
I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I just think when he decides to come back, he's gonna be able to come.
Yeah.
Like he gets to dictate that. kind of like us. Like when we want to come back with this,
well, of course.
When we want to do the episode with
you
want to
come
Key
back
at the salon.
Over and under a number of weeks until we get that text. Week and a half, 2 weeks. Yeah. You guys want to run it back? Want to do another?
More than one or two.
Yeah. More than one or two.
Fewer than next year.
What rock star is Frankie Chan analogous to? Like with a comeback? Who's had a big comeback?
Well, okay, so this is what's strange. Big M was telling me that Usher is playing the Super Bowl next year.
He's
and I'm
Usher.
Like, dude, where's that guy been?
Yeah.
Where's that guy been since?
This is hilarious because I'm a football fan and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Like, so I feel like it's not like Chan is the biggest celebrity A-list dude that ever lived, just like Usher is not the biggest pop star that ever lived.
Right.
But when they want to come back, all they got to do is, oh, hey, what's up? I'm coming back.
Call the agent.
Call the agent and
Book
everybody's on
Bowl.
Board. Everybody's on board.
I feel like he's sort of like the Prince. Never the biggest star.
Yeah.
But the one who all the other stars respect. And if he shows up and says, hey, I'd like to play, people are like, yes, please.
Pipe, here's a question for you, dude. Is there anybody...
Also kind of weird.
I think it's kind of weird. But is there anybody more big tent, really, at the end of the day, than Frankie Chan? Is there anybody that appeals to literally... Besides Ed Stetzer, is there anybody that appeals to everybody as much as Frankie Chan?
Does Frank come back as, like, the president of Taylor?
No.
Like, hey, nobody really knows what we believe, but it's a great time here. You know, student life. You're going to love it.
So, let me make
Best
a distinction.
Time of your life.
One of these is big tent and appeals to many people.
Mm-hmm.
The other is trying to glad hand everybody. Uh-huh. You decide which is which out of the Ed Stetzer. Francis.
Dude, he's not going to say anything.
I'm not saying anything.
Dude, he's working both those corners right now. Yeah, yeah. Nothing is being said.
There's probably a couple people here.
Like Ed, like Frank.
You know there you go.
There it is.
Ed, if you're listening, Ronald loves you.
Ed, if you're listening.
You. He won't shut up.
Oh, I think we found
it.
The person who's, I can't even who's look the him. Biggest tent. Yeah. Right here. Yeah.
Well.
Like everybody.
No, I'm just saying, like, Frank is like a guy that I think only people I've ever met that say I don't like Frank is, it, and they always qualify, but like, it's not that I disagree with them. It's just this whole way about him. You know, this is amazing. You know, like, everyone, like, they don't like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So it's not that they like, disagree with him. It's his the way he does it.
Yeah. Dude, he would rip around that conference circuit, though. I mean, if he came back, he would be main staging tomorrow at like.
But what's
14
so weird minutes. Is he's never main staged TGC. Like, what's up?
I don't know. It's the white whale. You know, it's out there.
No, it's the white conference.
No, right? Yeah, it's the white people. I mean, the white whale. All right.
Yeah.
One more Hall of Heroes, dude. Our boy Timmy K, the big guy, Timmy K.
That's a little hard to talk about.
I was going
to
say we gave him an entire episode of memories and appreciation.
Dude, we did. We did.
How do you make jokes about him? He was alive, we didn't really.
There's no jokes.
No, we liked him.
He was the one who we were constantly sort of like. I mean, he was like the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Dude, he's the OG.
Like,
he's like the original hipster.
Yeah, he's the original.
You literally can't, like, for somebody that is like there is nobody more authentic.
All right, so I think I know the answer based on like where the conversation's going, but in this Hall of Heroes, as laid out a minute ago, like who are we having dinner with? We gonna have dinner with one? Is it Timmy?
Judas Priest.
I mean, y'all were rooting for nepotism earlier, so I feel like my answer.
Let's just say we can't do Johnny P.
Okay.
Let's just say he's off.
I can't though. I'm not his kid.
Y'all can.
Yeah.
No, because
you've
feel
never
like
had dinner
easy.
With him. Well, you might have. I don't know.
I mean, dude, you could go there for Thanksgiving. I'm sure this year. Like, let's make it a little more like.
Dude, if I had dinner with Johnny P, I would talk a little Barnabas. I talk a little Vikings. You know, we do some 90s like Vikings reminiscence. We do, talk a little business.
Kirk Cousins.
Easy. Let's not go there. Okay, that's green room talk.
Dude, I just watched the quarterback. I know everything there is to know about this guy.
That face.
Let's not do it.
And the other dude, Maritoba, or whatever his name is.
Until next time.
Let's talk about him.
Maritoba.
Yeah, Maritoba. Mariota.
Who would I have dinner with?
Yeah.
Who else is on the list?
Can I be honest? Famous pastors are an incredibly boring dinner date.
Yeah. So it's not Platy. He'd be boring. Matty Chan, eh. Pipe's dad.
If he brings the steaks, I'm in.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
He's out of that game, but.
So I'm having dinner with Pipe's dad. So who you got? You got
Timmy
K,
on the
you
list,
got Frank.
Man.
The ones we just listed.
Platy, Matty Chan.
I'm going to do Frank.
Frankie?
I think you
and Frankie would have a nice time, dude.
I just think he'd be intense, you know? And then at some
I think
point,
you'd match the energy.
Well, what I would say, I would feel the freedom at some point to go, hey, Frank, just take it down a notch.
Would you tell him to take it down?
Well, I would just be like, dude, like, you, I mean, you know.
He would do that. Yeah.
You know, like, he doesn't have to do that with
me. Or would
me.
You try to meet it? I feel like you'd elevate.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah. You'd be doing.
I mean, I would want to know like what our next gig was together.
Yeah, yeah. When are we doing the book?
Yeah, we'd be 6 minutes into dinner and we'd be talking about. Yeah,
Frank, you tell me how we split the money.
Right.
60-40 is fine.
Right.
70-30 even. You know.
Yeah.
You tell me. It's fluid.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Let's go through.
We're getting on a plane and going to Thailand tomorrow, Frank.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's all content. Let's go through the Rogues Gallery. All right. So that was our Hall of Heroes. This is maybe the.
Oh boy!
Less.
So we get in trouble.
Yeah,
this
might
get
you
in trouble.
Trouble.
I'm gonna give you an easy one. Let's start with an easy one.
No easy.
Robbie B.
Oh, that's okay.
Our boy Rob.
I feel like that's just. I feel like that's just
like hitting a kid with glasses.
It almost feels like not fair. I mean, because you know someone's gonna bring up Oprah.
If you were to hit Robbie B, you would be hitting a kid with glasses. Essentially. Just a little guy in a turtleneck with some glasses, but I don't know.
Dude, I've never.
Did any of you? Did either of you attend an event that he spoke at?
Never.
We have, right, babe?
Yeah.
Where did you?
It was before my time.
I think
was
it
was when you were in Michigan when he was sort of.
Yeah, it was at his like shopping mall church when he was at his peak, like Apex Mountain, Robbie.
When he was gathering disenchanted Dutch kids.
Oh yeah, a lot of lot of angry Van Vandersmas in that room.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dutch.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Big T.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand the Robbie thing. The Robbie B thing was before my time.
Yeah. Go.
So was it just more of a dude being where he was and being slightly off kilter and everybody being fascinated by that? Whereas if he would have been anywhere else, everybody would have been rolling their eyes.
Well, I'll say this. Like all earnestness, very gifted communicator. So if we're just talking about verbal communication, kind of in a vacuum, regardless of content.
But why does everybody say that about him?
Well, he was a talented guy. He would get up there and vamp. It was kind of, you got to understand, dude, these disenchanted Dutch kids, and I'm painting with broad brushes here, but...
We never do that.
Yeah, right. You know, growing up in a kind of legalistic environment...
Okay, that's
what
I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, a lot of do's and don'ts, ready to rebel. Okay. Rob allowed them to feel a little bit dangerous for a time without being actually
dangerous.
Because
he just allowed them to feel.
Right. Yeah, and he's walking around, and he's making his big connections and saying his big...
He lived on questions and no answers.
That's right.
Loved to pose a question, but have you ever considered this? And then just kind of move on to the next thing, which gives permission to these kids who have been told what to think.
Well, dude, you've got to remember, this is first-gen emergent church before every other church was meeting in a place with, like, a bare brick and abandoned ductwork and, you know, before everybody was in an abandoned factory.
He should be getting royalties on all the deconstruction stuff that's happening now. Same thing.
I'm mad at him for deconstructing Aaron Rodgers.
He's laughing it up.
I am. I like football players. But anyway, Robbie B.
Yeah, it's just too easy.
I asked about seeing him speak because somehow I managed to see him speak in person like 5 times.
Really? Was there any point at which you were intrigued?
No.
I knew the answer. I just wanted to see how incredulous you would be with it.
Piper, are you just saying that because that goes back to who you were at the time, which was to be contrarian about everything?
At the time.
But in quotes.
Yeah.
In part. But also, there was a certain amount of like seeing through the shtick.
Yeah.
These are not good questions. Like this is a dumb approach. But when nobody, like when he's speaking to a group of evangelical kids who have never been allowed to ask questions, which really was the kind of early 2000s vibe.
Yeah, totally.
He was super appealing. And not that hard to see through if you just took a step back and you're like, that's a dangerous question to ask. Also, that's not what that text means. And so even at like 20, and then I saw him again a few years later when he was early on before he was famous. And then a few years later, I was working in publishing, saw him at Catalyst, and it was even more pronounced then. So yeah, I understood why he was appealing, but also was like, this is a gong show.
He was like an early TED Talk guy, too.
Yeah.
Just kind of wandering the stage, taking off the glasses, chewing on the nib, asking big questions, you know.
So he's like just make it up as you go, no notes.
Just going for it, ad-libbing to death. Just absolutely going.
I think he was a lot more scripted. He was a lot more like a good stand-up comedian or a TED Talk where it's tightly scripted.
Actually, I think he was a really smart guy.
But it seems very open.
Yeah.
Let's do another one, boys. Ferdy.
Oh, boy.
Remember this gentleman? You remember this big, sweaty guy, Stephen Furtick?
I don't know.
He's gotten bigger.
He's gotten bigger.
When he first made...
Is that the name of the autobiography?
He's gotten bigger, the Stephen Furtick story.
I don't know anything.
Doing upper body Tuesday, Thursday.
I mean that entirely in a steroidal fashion.
Yeah.
Anadrol
50, the Stephen Furtick story.
When he first made an appearance on the podcast, you know, way back in the, 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He had like a bowl cut and sideburns and it was that era. And he wasn't the steroidal bearded dude of today. So he really has made quite a metamorphosis in his physical appearance.
Hey, listeners, these last 3 episodes of the Happy Rant podcast are brought to you by our longtime partner and good friends at Visual Theology. If you visit visualtheology.church, you can see the full array of resources they offer for Bible study, for Bible teaching. So if you are you're a Bible teacher, you're a youth minister, you're a college minister, you homeschool your kids, or you just you invest a lot in family discipleship or your own personal growth, they offer amazing resources that put deep biblical and theological truths into visually captivating and clear expressions so that you can begin to see what the words on the page express in the Bible. So it just helps the Bible come to life. It helps a lot of innocuous things spring forth. It helps you make connections in Scripture you wouldn't have otherwise made. And the designs are spectacular. So again, visit visualtheology.church. They have memberships. So if this is something that you want to use on an ongoing basis, you can do so for your classroom, for your the ministry at your church, whatever it is you've got going.
You can make an individual purchase of a book, of a poster, of curriculum. They offer a full array. Be sure to check them out. They have offers for discounts on your first purchase as well. So visualtheology.church, be sure to check them out.
How do pastors have so much time to lift? You know what I mean? Of all the people groups that I know personally in my life, like I know a lot of like college and professional football players, and I know a lot of pastors. And of all the people groups in the world, these two people groups lift maybe more than anyone else. Like, do you have any insights on that? Like,
I don't know. I don't lift. So
what's the day? No way.
Obviously. No way. I'm the anti-lift.
All these years, I thought.
You know. I take a lift, right? L-Y-F-T. Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. From the airport to the venue.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. That's right.
Me and
Frank. Good question. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah, a lot of lifters.
Not intrigued enough to do it. But.
Yeah.
It's just that pastors can design their schedule.
Right. A little autonomy
there. They can have sort of that mid-afternoon.
Go to the gym for a couple hours, call it ministry. Dash. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, not ministry. Yeah. It's more like this is it's good. It's good for mental health. It's good for it's good for
Dude, mental health.
Physical discipline physical discipline is of some value. Paul says that. So let's proof text that mess and
there we go.
Put it up on the gym wall and and then it gains. Man,
I just
gains
save up
here,
all those
gains
lift
the theology, gains
for
everywhere.
Sabbatical.
There you go. You're lifting on your sabbat.
Correct.
Dude, what if Ronnie came back from sabbatical just absolutely yoked out of his mind?
We would have to do a comeback tour.
Yeah, we'd have to.
Just for that.
The Anadrol 50 tour starring Ronnie Martin and his traps. Okay, we got another one.
We didn't talk about Furtick like at all.
Yeah, no. What's there to say?
Yeah. Dude hasn't changed in 10 years.
Dude, but nobody's talked like... I haven't seen anything about him in a long time. What's the deal?
God's kindness.
He's just a guy.
Hey, boys.
He's just a guy.
We got another one. A little controversial.
Oh, boy.
Dougie Fresh. Doug Wilson.
Oh, boy.
Rogues Gallery. Any thoughts?
What's he going to burn this year? November's coming up. Let's see. We've seen like barns and trucks and boats and what else has he burned? What was that? A library? What a waste. What's he going to burn this year?
I mean, I have 7 answers to that right now.
City Hall?
Give us one, real quick. I'm going to stay quiet.
Oh, come on. Okay. Just make a prediction and we'll move on.
Stay quiet, man.
No.
I'm going to rip through the rest of these and then one last question. Drisky. Mark Driscoll, Drisky Business.
Okay, so he's the one on this list, I think.
Yeah. He's been popping up.
He moved from sort of Hall of Heroes to Rogues Gallery in the life of this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, he was on the way out, but he was still like he was on our team.
Okay, and without hype, what do we think? Like, what is eating Mark Driscoll?
What?
What is eating? What do you mean by that?
Like, what's eating the guy right now? Like, what do you think?
What's
like,
he mad at?
Yeah, you know, what's his aim? Because, you know, every once in a while, one of his sermons will pop up on YouTube for me, and it's like, it doesn't sound all that different. And it like
to
it
tell
doesn't
us something.
Yeah, no. But like it's like what's like what do you guys if you what would you guys like assess about like direction where he's at or where no like
yeah
not
no,
trying to kill
not
the guy
to be funny. Yeah, yeah
yeah yeah just like what like I because I don't really know
yeah
so
I don't know he's moved fully into like father figure status
but like, he's like stage with
he's
some
he
guy.
Is trying to be like kind of rough and like. Rough and ready father figure, masculinity. I mean, it's just the Arizona version of Seattle Mark.
Well, I was going to say, like, he doesn't seem any different.
Right.
You know
Seattle
I mean?
Mark was, you know, angry and, like, leather bands and metal studs and, you know, black Doc Martens, no offense, Ted, and whatever else.
None taken.
And and now he's like leather jacket, flannel shirt, trucker hat, you know, sort of like posh Western roughneck.
Yeah, yeah.
Really tan.
What's the difference?
Very tan.
Yeah.
Very Arizonian.
Dude, you think he owns a tanner in his house? Like, he's just heading down to the basement. Just get 10 or 15 minutes in.
You know, instead of lifting today.
No, the dude straight up has a compound with a pool and, like, armed guards.
I love it.
That's a pretty sure that's a true story.
I mean, dude, surely he doesn't need armed guards.
What's that?
Surely he doesn't need armed guards. We need armed guards, but, like, well, surely yeah. he
we
does
do
not
now.
Need...
We're
I mean, we got a
Mark
few
Driscoll.
Guys in the lobby. Yeah, yeah. No big deal, but... armed guards.
Yeah, no, we don't even know what to say. Like we're literally blank on this.
Yep, blank.
Dude, last one. You put this list together, didn't you?
I did.
Did you? Rachel Held Evans.
Oh, well, we
This is not because I wanted to make fun of her, to be clear. This was a list of people who have played the role of foil in the 10 years as a podcast, which is like a lot has changed in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. All right, Pipe, let's go a little honest on this.
Go.
So when he passed, we did a hard pivot. I think there was like some concern, and I think we did the right thing on that.
It was. I mean, I think so because we did it.
Yeah, we did it. But I mean, no, but I think, you know, so some of the, so this show is about three dudes not taking themselves seriously, not standing outside of a particular evangelical tribe and poking in and saying, look at how awful they are, but sort of being in the middle of it saying, hey, we're all in. Obviously, Rachel Held Evans was not within sort of like our, you know, obviously different theology and some of those things. And so because she had sort of the nature of kind of really poking pretty hard at our tribe, there was a little bit of like, well, you can kind of poke back a little bit.
So for this podcast history.
Yeah, yeah.
So when this thing started and Stephen L. Trogi.
Yeah, give him context.
So Stephen L. Trogi and I started doing these kind of one-off videos before video was a thing in.
Probably really one-off. I think there was one episode.
Well, there was a few, but I just mean like we didn't plan to like do a thing. Yeah. We're like, let's just try this. And after maybe two or three, the handful of people, by which I mean five or fewer, who viewed those videos said, you guys should turn this into a podcast because that would be a lot easier to consume.
What the kids are doing, man.
Right. Podcast. So this was back when podcasting was more advanced than video. And so Ted was invited on because you had some connection to Stephen. We had never met or talked at that point. But Stephen and Rachel Held Evans were like, it was like a, you know, Superman and Lex Luthor level of spite for one another.
Oh, I didn't
and
know
so,
that.
Okay. And so it became a thing where Ted and I would bring her name up just to listen to Stephen like sputter and be like, we can't talk about this. Like he just go off. And so just her.
He even had a policy. He was like, you can't utter her name.
Yeah, no talking about her. Because they would like write blog screeds back and forth and Twitter wars, and it was a whole thing.
Gosh, what a simpler time. Yeah.
Trogues and Evans.
Right. Yeah. So I
didn't know that.
We never had takes on her.
Yeah.
We simply threw her name out there
as a
just to make him mad. And then the moment that he stepped off the podcast and you stepped on, we made it the sign off.
Yeah.
Because it was like,
syllabically, it kept the same cadence.
Yeah. And Rachel Held Evans had become sort of a, almost like a profanity on the show as a joke.
Like a
so that's
meme.
Why it was Rachel the Held Evans for years. And then she passed and we were like, that's not a joke anymore.
Yeah.
So she was never like, she was never the object of our scorn as much as she was an object of picking on Trogues.
I didn't know
years.
Who even she was. It's not like I was reading her blog.
Yeah.
I was in the target demo for
we
that.
We were never fighting with her. It was just...
I think you just read her books, right?
But, the books, yeah.
That one was
hardcover.
One...
I mean, you know.
Yeah, so that one was one that it was like, she cast a long shadow over this podcast, and none of the three of us cared at all.
All right.
It was purely at the origin
story.
Yeah,
that's funny.
So Rogues Gallery. Drisky, Dougie, Ferdy, Robbie... Rach, who you having lunch with? Metaphorical fake lunch. You
Driscoll.
Can pick one.
Driscoll for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
So I worked a little bit with him when I worked at Crossway and he published with us, and so we got to know each other a little bit in those like in his like the halcyon days of Mars Hill.
Mm.
And I liked him at the time, and then so it was particularly kind of sad to see his direction. But I have particularly fond memories of a conference in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. It was a counseling conference that Driscoll was brought in to speak at. Do what you will with that irony. And the Gettys were leading worship. And so after everything shut down for the night, Mark Driscoll, Keith Getty, and I ended up at the hotel bar hanging out.
Dang, it's like the Rat Pack to be a fly on the wall in that room.
And guys,
this was how In Christ Alone was written back.
And so we closed down a hotel bar at a Sheraton or something in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
That Sheraton just burned it to the ground.
I will tell you this. You have an angsty Irish Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a legitimate Irishman, and then you have me, and it is not a good idea to try to keep up with
boy
people.
Yeah. Those guys.
Who drink like
stop.
That.
You can just stop right there.
They weren't messing around.
Pipe's like stumbling for words.
Keith Getty would be so mad I told that story.
What's on that road list?
So whatever.
Dude, so Pipe has Drisky. So that leaves Dougie, Ferdy, Robbie, Rage. Here you go.
You can join me and Mark if you like.
No, I don't want to do. I don't want to do Mark. I'll do Rob.
Ooh.
Because I don't really have any.
Little
I don't
surfing.
Have any
you can talk
there.
Some West Coast.
Like I don't have any. Yeah. Like I don't have any angst towards Robbie because I don't. I've never heard him speak a word.
Yeah.
So I'd be a little more neutral. Be able to get on there and go, dude, what's up?
I have angst. You ruined a bunch of Grand Rapids kids. That makes me mad. But all right, so that leaves me Ferdy. No, it'd be just like dry chicken breasts and vitamins. Too healthy.
Could work out together.
I'm not signing up for that and wash it down with a protein shake.
You guys could do a little boxing.
A little creatine. Rach, no.
Well.
Well, I mean, this is hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm going Dougie Fresh.
Shocking.
You know?
I say, shocking.
Yeah. It's gonna
that was going to be your choice
no salad,
before we picked.
You know?
Yeah, beef, no salad is...
We could maybe let me like light the match on the thing that he's burning. That seems like a nice time.
There's gonna be salad, but
I got to throw Doug
Wilson's
Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, just blue cheese, just ranch. Yeah, yeah. You guys, here's the deal. Here's how the next, you know, the near future is gonna go. It's 9:05. Okay. I look at this room and I see a bunch of bright eyed, energetic people. Nobody's tired. Okay, seriously. So what we're going to do, we're going to take another 10. We're going to come back here at 9:15, nice and tidy. You're going to be ready to go with some questions. I've heard tell that there are some presents, some gifts for the boys. So
if not for you guys, for us.
If you have gifts to bestow in the third episode, you can bring them up as you come up to ask your question. You could just leave them up here, however you like to do it.
Yeah, leave your gifts at the altar.
We'll leave your gifts at the altar. It's like Ferdick's church, you know? yeah. Hey, you know, do you guys know who's here tonight? A throwback to our very first live app. My guy, curator of my only social media presence, Fountains of Wayne. Wayne's here. Let's clap it up for the boy, Wayne. Webmaster at Ted Cluck Quotes. Did a tremendous job all those years. So, Wayne's here. You guys go mix and mingle. And until next time.
If you've listened to the Happy Rant for a long time, you will know that for years and years, we partnered with Dwell Bible, the best audio Bible app available out there, and they are sponsoring these last three episodes of the Happy Rant. Dwell Bible, if you're not familiar with it, is, like I mentioned, the best audio Bible available. There are multiple narrators, there are multiple versions. They offer listening plans, so if you want to listen through the Bible in a year, or go at a more reflective pace, or focus on the letters of Paul, or any number of other things, they have plans that will let you do that. The benefits of an audio Bible are so many. Oftentimes, life is too busy to sit down and read, especially if you have small children, or if you're on the road a lot. But an audio Bible is something you can do in the midst of something else. So while you're working out, while you're doing yard work, while you're doing chores around the house, while you're commuting, the car is one of the best times. The Bible is then with you. You can listen to it. You can reflect on it. You can rewind and listen again. If you're a Bible teacher or a preacher, this is a great way to infuse the text into you while you prepare to teach or preach. So I want to invite you to visit dwellbible.com/happyrant to check this out, see all their features, and they are offering 30 days free. It's a subscription service. And it is well worth your money. I've been a subscriber now for years. I love it. I use it regularly. Again, that's dwellbible.com/happyrant to get 30 days free. And I'm pretty sure that after that, you will say, this is absolutely worth it. I want to pay for the ongoing subscription. I would encourage you to pay for the lifetime subscription because they are regularly rolling out new features, new narrators, new versions, and they are building this whole thing out to better serve their audience and provide new ways to engage with Scripture. We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast.
Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.